She blinked a few times, her eyes slowly adapting to the brighter light. She didn't remember falling asleep, but it had been somewhere in amongst the stories from the clockwork maker, the woodcrafter. So many of the surrounding automata had joined in, clearly appreciating the new audience, interested. They had also, obviously, forgotten that most creatures needed sleep. Thus she was here. Sleeping amongst unknown individuals was an unintentional risk, especially when she had been warned of hostility towards the MMM. She obviously wasn't one of their crew, but if they were facing difficulties, it might apply to all outsiders. Besides, the Bossarine weren't exactly pure of intent in all interactions. They were traders and hagglers, after all. She pushed herself upright and stared across the carpet, gauging it to be far later than she had hoped to leave. Wurr was nestled against her thigh, her body forming a makeshift lean-to for him. Feeling him rustle, it was clear he was awake, probably slurping down the sugar water he kept stashed somewhere. She had yet to figure out where he produced it from, but with how much he needed to eat, she was guessing magic, probably akin to her bag. In front of her, oblivious to the little bird's morning routine, the automata from the night before held a wooden plank with their silver hand. Embedded about halfway down, an emerald sat, half raw. With the deep gray digits, they were carefully scraping at the gem, carving it with nothing but fingertips. Slowly, very, very slowly. To craft something in such a manner must take weeks, months even. But then, she supposed they had time. Hypnotized, she stared for an unknown amount of that time, simply observing, finding the action a sort of meditation. She could feel the need to perform the 13 stretches and the 37 forms. She should probably even get in a long form at some point. Yet this action, so simple in its gestures, so complex in its results, it held her until those deep, deep blue eyes looked up.
"Oh, good morning. You must forgive us for keeping you. We have learned much of the other species of the world, but we often forget the need for sleep."
Nodding, she gestured the concern away with a wave. "No, not at all. I came to learn. It was more, just more than I expected. I'm sorry I took over so much of your shop."
"It's not as though I have had many to trade with. You are most welcome to stay for a while. Oh, also, Orgum insisted."
Giving them a curious glance, she eyed the slender box. Polished wood she didn't recognize. Something pale blonde with inlays of amber. Sliding the lid back slowly, she wasn't entirely surprised to see soft cloth inside, protecting that beautiful moonstone fish. Carefully closing the lid, she looked up, not sure if she should protest or accept, or even just debate, but the automata spoke first.
"They were concerned it might get broken, and that wouldn't do. Obviously."
There was a wry smirk in that statement, and she nodded in agreement, noticing the knife Hazk had given her, now lying on one of the chests of drawers. A bargain complete. But it felt odd to accept an artifact of little power but such significance. A holder of the story of the three who killed the dead. Obviously, but this
is well traded for. For now I have the story of how I met the granddaughter of the greatest captain of the Bosserine, an honor and a memory. When you go, travel well, and please stop back when you have new stories.
I will. It was a clumsy acceptance, but it gave her an out, and the straightforward manner made the figure smile. Carefully sequestering her new little box safely in her bag, she considered, placed it next to her chest, the last thing she might lose if offense went poorly. Nodding again as she slowly rose, she could feel the little bird next to her flicker into action, hovering up and resetting on her shoulder. Whether the automata took note of the quith, she couldn't say, but none had mentioned him.
You are welcome on my carpet at any time, and there are many here who would talk as well.
Appreciated. I'm not sure how long I'll be here, but if nothing else, I'll stop by on the way back through. Smiling again as she strode out, she considered her cover, but that seemed to be blown. Perhaps it was obvious that she was not of the scholastic bent, though, truthfully, these were not the sort she was hiding from. It would be far north that things got difficult, and even if most of the tales last night were nonsense, she had what she wanted out of the bargain. Yet, there was a sense of wonder in storytelling, listening to the tales of beings that had lived through the most cataclysmic of events, met the most legendary heroes. It felt like home, though she'd never been here before. There was a pang of regret that she was on a job and that she needed to leave so soon. Far better to listen for a week or two than to head out in the open dust. Staying or going? She swatted away the bulky letters as they swirled into view, glancing about to see if anyone was watching. Whether the quith were well known here or not, having one with her suggested things beyond mere learning. She was, at the very least, trying to be subtle, a mentality he apparently did not share. Look, I don't know. I'm hoping to get the mood of the place, find out if anyone is traveling north. We could catch the Bosserine caravan, but that won't leave for at least a week, and it's a caravan. It'll be slow. Well, can we at least find a real inn? I'd like to be gone sooner than that, if possible. Annoyance snorted out in a strange whistling sound, like someone sneezing into a flute. It was clear her companion preferred the good life. She didn't know much about quith accommodations, but she was surprised he would care about a roof. Nothing would be sized for him. What, you want a fluffed bed and a stiff drink? Don't want to be eaten by a cat. For a moment, she tried to weigh if that was a dig at her. But he would be the perfect-sized morsel for a house cat. Not a consideration she had put much thought into, but she supposed at that size, any city posed new hazards. Perhaps she had misjudged his softness. Speaking of, do you need food, any supplies? Glancing over, she saw 1 foot raise and a contemplative scratch of his chin. He pondered a moment, then shook his head, feathers fluffing. Should be good, have a bit left. The block letters flickered away, rather than faded, and were quickly replaced. Apparently there was a limit to Wur's sentence length. Wouldn't mind some honey. She smirked at the clearly unnecessary request. He might be one of the preeminent mages of divination, but he was definitely a little on the fickle side. She didn't trust the magics he fiddled with, but it was very difficult to see him as anything except ridiculously adorable. I think we're a bit far out for that in this desert, but we can try.
This has been Steps with Sad Regards,
of the Kelmira saga, of the fatal neutrinos, stories of histories that weren't, futures that mustn't, and places that cannot be. Thank you for listening. I hope your day is a bit more surreal for it. And remember, don't stop pushing back against those futures that mustn't. This is Easton. Remember, I'm as much a work of fiction as anything you hear.